Vani Sikopatubya Sakabasanubhavata Patitanam Pabinevyo Vajnabhavyo Namo Namaha. How do you get it to do that? Does it hurt your ears when it does it? Yes. Brahma has stolen the calves and the boys. Krishna has expanded himself. Balaram could not understand for a whole year, practically speaking, what had happened, that the cows and boys, calves and boys, were actually Krishna. But then, just before, 5 or 6 days before the end of 1 year, on Balaram, just before Balaram's birthday, Krishna started withdrawing the Yogamaya potency that not even Balaram could pierce. And even though he is omniscient, he knows everything, still he could not pierce Krishna's Yogamaya covering. Krishna, Stu, Bhagavan, Sayam, the supreme, the original personality of Godhead, the all-powerful, the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord. And then Balaram asked him, in different stages, Krishna withdrew his Yogamaya, and then Balaram understood what was going on. He asked Krishna what the cause of this was, why he had expanded. Krishna explained the whole situation. Then, after a moment of time, of his time, which was a year, in the time of we earthlings, Brahma returned, and he looked in the cave to make sure that the boys and the cows in Kamyavan, he looked there to make sure the boys and cows were there, and then quickly went to see Krishna and the coward boys where he had taken them from the bank of the Jamuna, and he saw that they were there. Then he went quickly back to see if they still were in the cave, and they were in the cave. And he went quickly back to see if they were still by the bank of the Yamuna, and they were still there. He couldn't figure out if Krishna was going there before him and taking the boys and back and forth and back and forth. He didn't know if there were two sets of boys, if there were no sets of boys, if he was dreaming. He became completely bewildered. He stood in front of Krishna and the coward boys, and he was completely bewildered because they were exactly the same as the ones he had taken. Then Krishna started to show him something. So Brahma, you think you're very powerful? Because this is the problem with being with Janmaishwarya Shribir, with a good birth, intelligence, beauty, knowledge, fame, power, abilities. The problem with having those things is that one tends to become proud. Think, just see, I'm expert at this, I can do this. And look at these people over here, they're not as... they don't have what I have. I'm so much better. And that is called pride. But is it reasonable to be proud of something that, first of all, is ultimately insignificant, and second of all, it is a gift? If someone gives... I tend to tell this story, something from my own experiences. I've mentioned it many times, but that one time when I went to Hong Kong, the devotees, Giridhari Swami, picked me up in a stretch limousine, because he said it wasn't very much more than a, you know, just a regular taxi anyway. So he picked me up in a stretch limousine. there's such an experience getting into a stretch limo, especially because the windows are all black and no one can see who you are. So therefore that makes everyone very curious. Who's in there? Must be a very important person. Yes, it happened to have been a very important person. And then so, and it took about 20, 25 minutes or a half hour to go from the airport. Then it was Kai Tak Airport, not the one on Lantau Island, to the temple. And during that time, I was amazed. I was feeling so proud. Look at me. Here I am in this wonderful car. And then especially the real thrilling time is when you stop at your place and they open the doors and people get a chance to see who is in the stretch limo as you get out. But then it was all over and I had to carry my luggage up 4 flights of stairs and pride gone. But for a very short time, like a borrowed opulence for a short time, and yet this is the nature of a conditioned soul tending so much towards proud of his opulence, even though he knows in 20 minutes the ride is going to be over. And there he is with nothing again, just a common, ordinary, insignificant soul. So Brahma was very, very, very intelligent, but it is just borrowed intelligence or gifted intelligence given to him by Krishna. Whatever abilities anyone has, they're just gifts of Krishna. And Krishna, on the other hand, is the reservoir, Govindamadi Purusham. He is the reservoir of all opulence, of all power, everything. He is the ocean. And we, by his grace, we capture a drop. So Brahma was very intelligent, perhaps the most intelligent person, yet he became a little bit proud of his position. And he wanted to test Krishna's position. And then when he became bewildered, and then Krishna decided to show him something that would even bewilder him still further. So Brahma, in text 43, it described Brahma, and up to 45, how the inferior, when he's trying to display his powers before the superior, it becomes minimized, not he doesn't become glorified. So then, this is text 46, then while Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared. He was watching them, and they immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds and to be dressed in yellow silken garments, Prabhupada's purport. So in other words, Krishna was now revealing to Brahma his identity as having expanded into the cows and the cowherd boys that Brahma had taken. Prabhupada's, he began to show it. And then Brahma began to understand who he was dealing with. Prabhupada's purport. Well, Brahma was contemplating, you know, what has happened here? Cows, boys, which ones I've taken, I've not taken? And then suddenly they began to turn back. So it was what Brahma was contemplating. All the calves and cowherd boys immediately transformed into Vishnu murtis, having bluish complexions and wearing yellow garments. Brahma was contemplating his own power and the immense unlimited power of Krishna. But before he could come to a conclusion, he saw this immediate transformation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to this text. He explains that they had the Vishnumurtis, they were yellow dhotis, silken dhotis, bluish complexion, and they had armbands, they had srivats, the mark of srivats on their chest, they had armbands, kastuba jewels on their neck, and their hands were ornamented with golden bracelets and their feet with bangles. text 47 and 48. All those personalities had four arms, holding conch shell, disc, mace, and lotus flowers in their hands. They wore helmets on their heads, earrings on their ears, and garlands of forest flowers around their necks. On the upper portion of the right side of their chest was the emblem of the goddess of fortune. Furthermore, they wore armlets on their arms, the Kastuba gem around their neck, which were marked with three lines. Their necks were marked with three lines like a conch shell, and had bracelets on their wrists, with bangles on their ankles, ornaments on their feet, and sacred belts around their waist. They all appeared very beautiful. So there were thousands and thousands of coward boys and calves, and suddenly there were thousands and thousands and thousands of beautiful, ornamented Vishnumurtis, forearms, helmets, belts, anklets, armbands, Srivatsa, Kostuba jewels. Here's Prabhupada's purport, and they were very beautiful, thousands of them. All the Vishnu forms had four arms, this is Prabhupada's purport, with conch shells and other articles. But these characteristics are also possessed by those who have attained Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha, who are liberated in the spiritual world. They also can have this. And who consequently have forms exactly like the form of the Lord. However, these Vishnu forms appearing before Lord Brahma also possess the mark of Srivats and Kastuba gems, which are special characteristics possessed only by the Supreme Lord Himself. This proves that all the boys and calves were in fact directly expansions of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, not merely His associates in Vaikuntha. So, practically speaking, Brahma saw unlimited forms of His worshipful Lord, and each one of them were all powerful. That in and itself is inconceivable. How could each one of them be all powerful? But they were all Vishnu, they were all the Lord. This proves all the opulences of Vishnu are already present in Krishna. Consequently, for Krishna to demonstrate so many Vishnu forms was actually not very astonishing. But for Brahma, who had no idea of Krishna's inconceivable power, is astounding. The Srivats mark is described in the Vaishnava Toshini, which is the commentary on the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, by Sanatana Goswami, as being a curl of fine yellowish hair on the upper portion of the right side of Lord Vishnu's chest. This mark is not for ordinary devotees, it is a special mark of Vishnu or Krishna. 49. More descriptions of what Brahma, or who Brahma saw. Every part of their bodies, listen to this, from their feet to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves, offered by devotees engaged in worshipping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely, Buri Punyavad Arpitaha, and namely, what is the most pious of all pious activities? How are they worshipping the Lord? By hearing and chanting about Him. So they were covered completely with tulsi leaves, having been offered to Him, and garlands. And they're being worshipped in this way, and by devotees hearing and chanting His glories. Prabhupada's purport. The word Buri Punyavad Arpita is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who had performed pious activities, Sukritavi, for many births and who were constantly engaged in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Bhakti, devotional service, is the engagement of those who have perfectly performed highly developed pious activities. The accumulation of pious activities had already been mentioned elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, where Sukadeva Goswami says, Itam satam brahmasukhanabhutya jasyam gatanam paradai vitvena Maya Sritananam Narapangavena Sakyam Vicharu Krita Punja Punja. Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, as well as those who are on the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord is an ordinary person, they cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes, heaps, as they would say in Australia, and Prabhupada explained, more so translated like that, playing, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, they are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. How fortunate it is to have such an intimate relationship with Krishna. It is not ordinary, but it is extraordinary. And how does one gain such an extraordinary position, so rarely attained? By having performed incredible amounts of devotional service. And Prabhupada then says, in our Krishna Balaram Mandir, Balaram Temple, in Vrindavan, there is a tamal tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected, but now it has developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is a sign of Buddhi Punya, meaning fortune, piety, coming from hearing and chanting. Witnessing the hearing and chanting. Continuing. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resemble the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Krishnas. This little contraption is making a funny noise. Is that standard? Listen to this again. Those Vishnu forms, and see if what if anything hits you is strikes you in this. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembles the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees. That was the part that struck. Those Vishnu forms created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Because desires are born of the mode of passion. As if, because the mode of passion creates unlimited desires and longings within the heart. But the devotees have desires and longings within their heart. And where does this verse indicate that those desires and longings come from? As if created by the mode of passion or the mode of goodness. Because depending upon what modes of material nature affect this, goodness, passion, ignorance, certain desires, a certain style or kind of desire comes to us. As if created by the modes of nature, but actually, let's hear where the, because it says in the text that these are created by the Lord Himself. Very interesting that the Lord creates our devotional desires and protects them. We cannot get them by other than His grace, His divine grace, mercy. Here's what Prabhupada says. Those Vishnu forms bless the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resemble the increasingly full light of the moon, Shraya Karayiva Chandrika Vataranam. As maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Their smiles resembled the mode of goodness, protecting all the desires of the devotees. And the glancing of their eyes resembled the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word raja means not passion, but affection. In the material world, raja guna is passion, But in the spiritual world, it is affection, desire. Because desire comes from the mode of passion. But in the spiritual world, the desires come from the pure affection of the soul. In the material world, affection is contaminated by rajagun. That means that it is ultimately selfish. And tamagun. But in sudha-sattva, pure goodness, the affection that maintains the devotees, is transcendental. Very interesting. So where does the affection come from? The glance of the Lord. So the desires of the devotees come from the glance of the Lord, and that's the Lord's affection. And what causes the Lord to put His glance of affection upon devotees? What causes Krishna to glance affectionately at His devotees? Love? Whose love? His love? But why does he only give it to the devotees? Because he loves the devotees. Why does he love the devotees? Because they love him. Yayatamam prapadyante. You know? They desire his love. They desire to love him, and they desire his love. If one doesn't have a desire, even if one is empty of desire to love Krishna, doesn't love Krishna, at least the desire to love Krishna should be there. Or if one doesn't have that, at least one should desire to desire something. It has to start with some exercise of free will by the living entity. And where does that desire to have a desire to have a desire to come from? Hearing from pure devotees. What? Association. Comes from Krishna, agyata sukriti, comes from doing somehow or another, doing some pious activity with knowledge that brings one into the association of devotees, and then by the mercy of the devotees, by hearing and by more service than the desires, and especially if one doesn't commit offenses, then the desire to love Krishna will grow and grow by Krishna's grace. All this comes by Krishna's causeless mercy, actually. But there should be some attempt, although we can't fulfill our desire to love Krishna, in fact, there should be an attempt on our part. Just like when Mother Yasoda, we read how Mother Yasoda was making her attempt to bind Krishna. There was always two fingers too short. She couldn't get the rope around. No matter how much rope she brought, it was always the same amount too short. All the rope in the village was brought and tried to circumscribe Krishna's waist, and it was always two fingers too short. And everyone was amazed at this. The same two fingers short. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that this means, one finger means desire on the devotee's part, the attempt, not just desiring without the attempt either, a sincere attempt based on a sincere desire to love Krishna. And then the second part is fulfilled by Krishna's mercy. So because Mother Yasoda was endeavoring so much to bind Krishna, her prema, her love, her part, caused Krishna to allow himself to be bound. Then later on, after Krishna releases the two Nalagavira and Manigriva, he's thinking, although I am binding everyone with the gunas, the three modes of material nature in this world, everyone is bound, controlled by goodness, passion, ignorance. But yet I too am bound by the ropes of love of the gopis. And there he was. He had released Manigriva Nalakuvera, but there he was still bound by Mother Yasoda's rope of prema. We'll continue here. The word svakartanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. So, in so many places the devotees pray, please place your glance of mercy upon me. Please favor me with your glance of mercy. Please place your merciful glance upon me. And what does that mean? If one's desires in Krishna consciousness are increasing and one's material desires are decreasing, that means some glance of mercy is being showered upon us. A pure devotee, so Krishna creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glance creates variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. In the material world, desire is a product of rajagun and tamagun, passion and ignorance, but desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus the word svakartanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. In Vrindavan, now Prabhupada is going to, because Prabhupada is dictating this in Vrindavan, and he's going to give a very unique example here of the desire, eagerness to serve Krishna by Krishna's mercy. In Vrindavan, there was a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. This is where the Prabhupada Lilamrita, they got the title for that, let there be a temple. Let there be a temple, came from that, from the quotation of Prabhupada's. And indeed it was so incredible that place in Ramanreti, now it is so busy, you can't even walk across the street most of the time without it's dangerous to walk across the street because there's so much traffic, there's taxis, there's bulls, there's everything going, rickshaws, this and that going. You have to really be careful when you're walking across the street. But then, in 1972, there was nothing. It was so far away from the Vrindavan town that the devotees were questioning Prabhupada, do you think anyone will even come here? It's so far away? And now, it's incredible, continuously, in all seasons, there's just pilgrims coming, devotees coming, continuously, even the first years when I was there, it wasn't like this, but it's just increasing and increasing and increasing. It's so popular because of the desire of a devotee, let there be a temple. Such are the desires of a devotee. Let the Krishna consciousness movement be spread all over the world. And Prabhupada transplanted that desire that was so deep within his heart, which was deep within the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the way back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. All the devotees wanted this, and Prabhupada passed this desire on. And his followers carry on the preaching movement because it is his desire and the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Brahma saw all this covered with tulsi leaves, saw countless Vishnu forms who had previously been the boys in the cabs. This is what else Brahma saw. All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnumurtis according to their respective capacities with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. He, the Lord, is the worshipable object of every living entity, whether they are conscious, whether one is conscious of it or not. And everyone was worshipping him. That is the meaning of Yeya Tam Mam Papadyante Tamsta Taiva Bhajam Yaham Mama Vart Manavartente Manushitana Mashita, that one, it is unavoidable to worship the Lord. One time I asked Prabhupada, I thought I was very clever, so I asked Prabhupada, if it's unavoidable to worship the Lord, worship Krishna, so we either have to worship him directly or indirectly, so why bother? Why bother worshipping him directly? Because you're already worshipping him. Why not just try to have a good time, I was thinking. And you're also worshipping him. And Prabhupada replied in a very simple and grave way, yes, but if you worship him directly, you'll be happy. And if one worships him indirectly, in other words, I'm serving the illusory energy, thinking oneself the center, one is just banging one's head against the wall, trying to get water from a rock. It's just not there. There's no pleasure. One only ends up with a headache. Prabhupada's purport. Innumerable living entities are engaged in different types of worship of the Supreme according to their abilities and karma. But everyone is engaged, Jivera Sarupoi, Krishna Nityadas, because everyone, by constitution, by nature, is a servant of Krishna. Although, at this particular time, the conditioned souls are not by serving him by inclination, but yet they are serving him indirectly, because we can't avoid serving him. It is our swarup, our own nature, our form. There is no one who is not serving. Therefore, the Mahabhagavata, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in the service of Krishna. Only himself does he see as not engaged. We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to a higher position. And the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. But everyone is engaged in service. Denial of the service of the Lord is maya. Ekala Ishara Krishna Ar Sabha Mritta Yara Yaichi Nachaya Sataichi Kari Nritya. Only Krishna is the Supreme Master and all others are His servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dances according to His tune. We are dancing to the song played by the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, I want this, I don't want that. Actually, we're just dancing according to the control of the modes, these powerful forces, Daivi, Yesh, Guna, Mayi, Mama, Maya, Daraktya, Ya. There are two kinds of living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Trees, for example, stand in one place, whereas ants move. Brahma saw that all of them, down to the smallest creatures, had assumed different forms and were accordingly engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu. One receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. In the material world, the body one receives is guided by the demigods. This is sometimes referred to as the influence of the stars. As indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, by the word Prakriti Kriyamanani, according to the laws of nature, one is controlled by the demigods. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As a flower in a bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. More about what Brahma saw. So he saw every living entity was worshipping the Supreme Lord, either directly, indirectly, but everyone was undoubtedly worshipping. We can't help but serve. It is impossible. We long to be the master, but we end up serving. We long to be the master and have everyone serve us, but it doesn't make any difference. We have to serve. This is our dharma. As sweetness cannot be separated from sugar, as the taste of salt cannot be separated from salt, simply serving cannot be separated from every living entity, from any living entity. This is more what Brahma saw. All the Vishnumurtis were surrounded by the opulences, headed by anima siddhi, by mystic powers, by the mystic potencies, headed by aja, and by the 24 elements for the creation of the material world, headed by the Mahatattva. So surrounding, the Vishnumurtis were being worshipped by devotees, by all living entities, and surrounding them were the 24 elements, all mystic powers, all potencies. Everything was surrounding the Lord. This is what Brahma was seeing. And there he was, previously having thought that he himself was so powerful, and he's seeing this incredible, this talking about what awesome is, that people, you throw that word around, oh yeah, awesome, but this is awesome. Awesome means it fills one with awe and wonder. Everything becomes common in Kali Yuga. Everything is awesome, excellent. But nothing in the material world at this time, nothing is awesome, nothing is excellent. That's the words. But this is awesome. This is true excellence. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word mahimavi means aishwarya or opulence. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can do whatever he likes. That is his aishwarya, his opulence. No one can command him, but he can command everyone. Sad Aishwarya Punam. The Lord is full in six opulences. The yoga siddhis, the perfections of yoga, such as the ability to become smaller than the smallest, anima siddhi, or bigger than the biggest, mahima siddhi, are present in Lord Vishnu. Sad Aishwarya Punam, Yaiha Bhagavan. The word aja means maya or mystic power. Everything mysterious is in full essence, existence, in Vishnu. The 24 elements mentioned are the five working senses, pancha kamendriya, the five senses for obtaining knowledge, pancha gyanendriya, the five gross material elements, pancha mahabhuta, the five sense objects, pancha tanmatra, the mind, manas, the false ego, ahankar, the mahatattva, and the material nature, prakriti. All 24 of these elements are employed for the manifestation of the material world. The Mahatattva is divided into different subtle categories, but originally it is called the Mahatattva. All this was surrounding the Lord in worship. Then Lord Brahma saw that kala, the time factor, swabhava, one's own nature by association, sanskara, reformation, kama, desire, karma, fruit of activity, and the gunas, the three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnumurtis. This is awesome. All the totality of material elements, everything had assumed form, the gunas, the modes of nature, karma, swabhava, kala, time. Everything was worshipping the Lord. Everything used in the material creation, worshipping these Vishnumurtis. And he was independent. Prabhupada's purport. No one but Vishnu has any independence. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only Supreme Master and that everyone else is his servant. Ekala Ishvara, Krishna Ar Sava Vritya. Be one even Narayan, or Lord Shiva, everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Shiva Varin Shinutam. Even Baladev, Balaram, is subordinate to Krishna. This is a fact. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sava Vritya. Again, quoting this. Yare yadse natcha se taitse kare nritya. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. Yastu narayanam devam brahma rudradi daivitaha samadvai naivaya vikshetah sapashandi bhavedhruvam. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered an offender. No one can compare to Narayan or Krishna. Krishna is Narayan and Narayan is also Krishna, for Krishna is the original Narayan. Brahma himself addresses Krishna, Narayanastam nahi savadehinam. You are also Narayan. Indeed, you are the original Narayan. That's in the next chapter. Kala, so that's describing how everything, that how Krishna is the supreme, and Prabhupada will go through the different elements here. We won't read everything here, but everything is worshipping Krishna. Here's Prabhupada's comments on kama and karma, desires and activities. This is the last final paragraph in Prabhupada's purport. If one engages in devotional service, one develops a different nature than if one engages in activities of sense gratification. And of course, the result is also different. According to the association of different natures, one receives a particular type of body. Karanam guna sangasya sarasat joni dharmasu, from Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we should always seek good association, the association of devotees. Then our life will be successful. A man is known by his company. In fact, that's an English saying, a man is known by the company he keeps. But that is very true, because one becomes, by association, one becomes just like those who one associates with. If one associates with drunkards, one will become a drunkard. If one associates with people who take other kinds of intoxicants, one must become like them. If one associates with people who love classical music, one will develop a taste for classical music. If one associates with devotees, then one will develop a taste for performing Krishna Bhakti. A man is known by his company. If one has the chance to live in the good association of devotees, one is able to cultivate knowledge, and naturally one's character or nature will change for one's eternal benefit. 54. More on the Vishnumurtis. The Vishnumurtis all had eternal, unlimited forms. They were surrounded by the energies. They were being worshipped. They were covered with tulsi. They were all powerful. There were unlimited numbers of them. And they all had eternal, unlimited forms. What? Try to comprehend. How can there be more of something that has an unlimited form? If there could be one thing, and it's maybe all expansive, but how about, there were unlimited Vishnumurtis, that each of them had unlimited forms. There was no boundaries on their forms. Their potencies were unlimited despite the fact that they had forms. This is inconceivable to the finite intelligence. They were full of knowledge and bliss and existing beyond the influence of time. That's also inconceivable. How could they exist beyond time? But to speak of being composed of bliss and knowledge. Their great glory was not even to be touched by the jnanis engaged in studying the Upanishads, those seeking knowledge, studying the Vedic literatures. Thus, Lord Brahma saw the Supreme Brahman, by whose energy this entire universe with its moving and non-moving living entities is manifest. He also saw at the same time all the calves and boys as the Lord's expansions. Prabhupada's purport, short purport, two sentences. By this incident, Lord Brahma was able to see how Krishna maintains the entire universe in different ways. It is because Krishna manifests everything that everything is visible. Then, by the power of those of the effulgence of those Vishnumurtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, he became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. He was shocked, he was stunned. There's no a child's doll. The child may imagine that it is talking to it, but the doll has no potency, ability to talk. Brahma was shocked because there he was thinking he was powerful, and suddenly he was confronted with this unlimited, incredible power of Krishna. Never mind its sweetness, but its power. And this is just a little bit. This is expansions of Krishna. What to speak of Krishna's full power? Impossible, inconceivably powerful. Unlimitedly powerful. Just that one definition that was cited so long ago earlier. Unlimitedly powerful. Unlimitedly powerful. Swatantra, independent. It's just Shakti. Whatever he desires occurs. This is God. So Brahma, when confronted like that, he was stunned and shocked. Silent, like a village, like a doll, a child's doll. Could not say anything. Purport, in bliss for what he had seen. Brahma was stunned because of transcendental bliss. Muyantiya Surya. In his astonishment, all his senses were stunned. Jai Jai Si Gonitai. And he was unable to say or do anything. Brahma had considered himself absolute, thinking himself the only powerful deity. But now his pride was subdued, and he again became merely one of the demigods. An important demigod, of course, but a demigod nonetheless. Brahma, therefore, cannot be compared to God, Krishna, or Narayan. It is forbidden to compare Narayan even to demigods like Brahma and Shiva, what to speak of others. Yes, tu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Vidayanvachana. Demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered an offender. We should not equate the demigods with Narayan, for even Shankaracharya has forbidden this. Narayano paro vyaktat. Also, as mentioned in the Vedas, Eko Narayanam mazin na brahma neshanaha. In the beginning of creation, there was only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, and there was no existence of Brahma or Shiva. Therefore, one who at the end of his life remembers Narayan attains the perfection of life. Ante Narayanam Smriti. And the final text that we'll read, and it's got a long purport, and then there's a comment by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We'll see how much we can read. The Supreme Brahman. So this is defining. There's a comment here. Brahma was stunned after seeing the Param Brahma. Param Brahma, Param Dham, Pavitram, the Supreme Pure, the Supreme Abode. So here is defining it, and says what happened next. So Brahma was stunned and shocked. The Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in his own bliss, and is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. Thus, in relationship to the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, whose glory had been shown by the manifestation of all the four forms of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was mystified. What is this? He thought. And then, he couldn't speak, he couldn't do anything, and then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his yoga maya. Read from Prabhupada's purport. Brahma was completely mystified. He could not understand what he was seeing. And then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then removed that yogamaya covering. In this verse, Brahma is referred to as Iresha. Ira means Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Iresha is her husband. Lord Brahma. Brahma, therefore, is most intelligent. His energy is Saraswati, or learning. But even Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was bewildered about Krishna. Although he tried, he could not understand Lord Krishna. In the beginning, the boys, the calves, and Krishna himself had been covered by yogamaya, which later displayed the second set of calves and boys, who were Krishna's expansions, and which then displayed so many forearm forms. Now, seeing Brahma's bewilderment, Lord Krishna caused the disappearance of that yogamaya. One may think that the maya taken away by Lord Krishna was Mahamaya, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that it was yogamaya, the potency by which Krishna is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. The potency which covers the actual reality and displays something unreal is Mahamaya, but the potency by which the absolute truth is sometimes manifest and sometimes not is yogamaya. Therefore, in this verse, the word aja refers to yogamaya. Krishna's energy, his maya shakti or sarup shakti, is one, but it is manifested in varieties. Prasya shaktiya vivadaiva shriyate. The difference between Vaishnavas and mayavadis is that mayavadis say that this maya is one, whereas Vaishnavas recognize its varieties. There is unity in variety. For example, in one tree there are varieties of leaves, fruits, and flowers. Varieties of energy are required for performing the varieties of activities within the creation. To give another example, in a machine all the parts may be iron, but the machine includes varied activities. Although the whole machine is iron, one part works in one way and the other part works in another way. One who does not know that the machine is working, how the machine is working, may say that it is all iron. Nonetheless, in spite of it being iron, the machine has different elements, all working differently to accomplish the purpose for which the machine was made. One wheel runs this way, another wheel runs that way, functioning naturally in such a way that the work of the machine goes on. Consequently, we give different names to different parts of the machine, saying this is a wheel, this is a screw, this is a spindle, this is the lubrication, and so on. Similarly, as explained in the Vedas, Prasya Shakti Vibhadaya Shriyate Swabhavika Gyanabala Kriya Cha. Krishna's power is variegated, and thus the same Shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Vivida means varieties. There is unity in variety. Thus yogamaya and mahamaya amongst the varied individual parts of the same one potency. And all of these individual potencies work in their own varied ways. The Samvit, Sandini, and Aladini potencies, Krishna's potencies for existence, his potencies for knowledge, and his potencies for pleasure, are distinct from yogamaya. Each is an individual potency. The Aladini potency is Radharani. As Srup Damodar Goswami has explained, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritya Ladini Shakti Rasmaya. The Ladini Shakti is manifest as Radharani, but Krishna and Radharani are the same, although one is potent and the other is the potency. So Prabhupada, in the purport goes on into this long purport, but the basic idea is that Krishna is unlimited. How could we, who are tiny, by using our own tiny finite intelligence, conceive of the unlimited? We cannot grasp him, his potencies, his nature, because they're all unlimited. It's pastimes. We cannot get it. So through our own powers, we will never understand the absolute truth, Krishna. And therefore, a different methodology is required, and that is called bhakti, where one develops love for Krishna, and then by Krishna's grace, Krishna, as he desires, reveals himself to his devotee. That is yayatamam papanyante. He reveals himself to those who love him. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a process of trying to develop love. It's the path of bhakti, the path of devotion. And then Krishna, by his divine grace, he reciprocates in many, many, many ways so that the impurities of the devotee will be removed and that he will attain pure love for Krishna. This is the process. And then we'll just read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Seeing that Brahma could not realize whatever sweet glory he had shown him, and that Brahma was not qualified to view any more of his endless, unprecedented glories, Krishna didn't show any more of his opulences. Even though Brahma was highly learned and also the husband of the goddess of learning Saraswati, he said, "Oh, what an amazing thing I've seen." Then, being mystified, he could no longer see those forms. Seeing this and knowing Brahma's qualification to understand his powers, Krishna immediately withdrew the curtain of Yogamaya to make them disappear. In other words, by the agency of Yogamaya, Krishna covered the cowherd boys, the calves gazing on grass, grazing on grass, and himself looking for the calves. Then Krishna showed new forms of the same produced from himself. So there's, see, here's back into three different sets again. He covered himself and the boys and the calves looking, and then Brahma had taken the Maya one, and then he expanded into another set. Then Krishna showed new forms of the same produced from himself, each having four arms. Then he made that Yogamaya disappear. Yogamaya is the potency. So Krishna is just doing this, just with no effort. When this is potency. This is power. He has unlimited power. He can create universes, countless universes. Mama Angsa Teja Sambhava. And it's no endeavor for him. That is nothing. He can create countless Vishnu forms expanding from him. And each one of them is unlimited. And that still doesn't measure or circumscribe or put boundaries on his potencies. He has unlimited potencies. So when Brahma saw a little bit, he was stunned. And that was an insignificant bit in one sense. And Krishna then, understanding Brahma's qualification that he couldn't see this, what to speak of more, Krishna withdrew his Yogamaya. What was the source of Brahma's bewilderment? Brahma was mystified by seeing Krishna's opulence. How is Lord Krishna described in this verse? Krishna is beyond logic. He is self-manifest and blissful. If Krishna does not personally reveal himself, there is absolutely no means, not even by scriptural knowledge, to realize him. So then, therefore, the quest of the devotees, how can, as Srila Bhakti, Prabhupada would quote Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying, don't try and see Krishna, but try to act in such a way that Krishna sees you. And then, by Krishna's grace, you'll be able to see him according to your qualification. If Krishna doesn't personally reveal himself, there is absolutely no means, not even by scriptural knowledge, to realize him. Therefore, Krishna is beyond logic or argument. He is also beyond the material energy. Krishna is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas, who define Brahman in terms of negation. The phrase antan nirasana means rejecting that which is irrelevant. The word atat means that which is not a fact. So there's something technical here. Okay, we'll stop here. So there's not much more to this chapter. It ends in 64 texts, and we've just finished 57, so there's a few more. And Krishna willing, we'll read some of these tomorrow, read them tomorrow, and perhaps we'll complete the chapter. And remember, and these are the last purports that Prabhupada dictated. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna's pastimes and Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Lord Bhaktivinoda ki jai.